Welcome to Flats Mafia Podcast, Episode 1. I'm here with the one and only Big Hoss, Justin LaForo, the other one, James Garrison. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, doing good.
You know?
Beautiful.
We've actually been on a small little journey with this podcast world, trying to get everything just right, and I think we finally made it there.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the many things that we've done as Flats Mafia, and we're getting ready to do.
Podcast room's almost done.
Almost done.
It's filling. We need some more signage, and I think we're there.
It's definitely feeling pretty homey in here.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it. Yeah. But our plan today is to give you a backstory of Flats Mafia and how it started, where we're at, what we're doing now, what's going on. And it's only right that I let James kind of kick that off, because him and Jeff were kind of the originators. If I can remember, I think James was drawing this. Were you drawing this at school?
Yeah, we did the quick version. So, yeah, I was drawing it in school. Just had an idea. Tried to turn it into apparel. Thought I was going to be rich doing it. Learned some things along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Apparel is strictly, that's not the word. It's hard. Apparel's hard. We're still trying to do it now. We're still trying to figure it out. It's still difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard to make money.
Yeah. That's where it started. So long story short, with apparel, like once we made it, we bought some stuff from China, spent about $6,000 all we had. Got the shirts back, and they were shit.
I remember those. We actually sold the rest of those at like $5 a piece at one of the shows we were doing at the boat show.
I remember those, the white ones.
Slinging them out of the back of the truck like CDs, bro.
Yeah. From China. And
the second you washed them, the first time you washed them, the collar turned to bacon. Right? And it was all one color, all one design. It was our classic design, which I still love, but it was huge learning curve. We put all our chips in that basket. The pallet showed up at my house. I think it was two pallets. $6,000 worth of apparel from China goes a long way. 13 years ago, or however long.
Oh yeah,
there was a lot in my garage. So I made some stuff in my truck, and I had them all sized up. So if you wanted something, I go in there, pull out the large. It was ready to go. I looked at the packaging it was in, because they came packaged. Hopefully the heat from Florida heat didn't get to them, and the label didn't stick when I pulled them apart on the packaging. It was rough, man. Apparel's tough, but we came a long way since then.
Yeah. Well, I think it was the original logo. Really, that Flats Mafia logo was just the classic, perfect logo that you did with that mafia guy with the fishing rod. And then how many years you say fast forward that, what?
We became official in 2009.
2009
is when the website hit. Got the patent for the logo and everything. And then from there, just tried to put it in shops. Realized again, that's another difficult thing to do.
That's tough.
People don't realize, they come up with an idea. They think they want to make shirts. They're going to make it big, like Huck or Hook or whatever the hell their name is.
Yeah.
I don't know how to really truly pronounce it. H-U-K?
I believe it's Hook.
Probably Hook.
Is it Hook?
But yeah, you know, you're dealing with millions of dollars in startup costs.
They got a lot of money into the startup one. And that's what that's what you have to do if you're going after apparel.
That, because you need to hire sales reps that can hit and hit the ground running. And we were trying to do that ourselves, and just going from shop to shop and try to really start doing that, which.
Right. I mean, back then. So if you got a bunch of shirts, you want to put them in a shop. You show up and the shop owner's like, yeah, we'll give it a try. It looks kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah.
We're not going to pay for them up front. We're going to put you on consignment. And what are you going to tell them? No.
Yeah.
So you put your stuff in and you let it ride and you wait a month and you go back and you're checking to see if anybody's bought anything. And then you collect and then you keep redoing it. It took 3 or 4 years before we could get somebody to actually pay us up front to put our shirts and hats.
And we were grinding at the boat shows. Like, I feel like we had a couple really good, decent boat shows with the apparel.
But we did well locally.
Yeah, locally. And, we had a couple really good days. We even traveled a little bit to Jacksonville that one time. And that was the whole struggle of, it was just us trying to make the apparel happen. And come to realize that, you need more help. You need more money. You need a lot of things.
You need way more money.
Yeah, way more money.
I think we started it if I could give a number to it, roughly, I would say 15,000 mm-hmm. is what we had all in everything in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then tried to make that work, and you'll realize quickly you'll run that, you'll deplete that
yeah.
fast.
And then I want to say maybe, I think it was like that first trip to the Keys that we took. And then when I really started getting in with the company, that we're like, there was a chance for us to do TV, and media company popped up with the radio that led us to then go into TV. But if you go back and look at some of our videos that were filmed with a GoPro that we just captured ourselves with the crew and then gave it to Greg, and Greg made magic happen.
Yeah.
You know, so like just having Greg around and being able to put his touch on things to say like, hey, there's a chance that we are going to be able to do TV, and coming to find out with media and radio where that goes. And that's what we got to see. I don't know what, four years of radio.
100% we would not be here without Greg.
In yes. my,
shout out to Greg.
Yeah. Shout C-Brain, out to Greg.
C-Brain Visuals.
Yes.
If you guys need a videographer or somebody to do some editing. He is the guy to go to.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree with you more that without Greg,
we wouldn't still be doing this without him.
No.
He makes the show look good because we
try
do
to
a
film.
Real good job at making it difficult for him.
Yeah. We're going to smash the fish today. We got to worry about trying to get three fish on camera. But yeah. That's us trying to film a TV show in 8 hours.
So anyway, from apparel, we got a chance to do radio, and we started on 10:10 a.m.
10:10 a.m. Mark was our producer.
Mark was our producer. I don't know what he's doing now, but
I think he's still there.
That was a channel that, or station. No, it was the channel. So 10:10 a.m. Yeah. Barely got out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did that. I don't know how long were we there.
I want to say it was at least. I don't know. What, was it, four,
it was four? A it was at least a year. I think.
Okay, I was gonna say a year, but you know the best thing about that was is that. You know, we never did radio. Yeah, I was comfortable around microphones and stuff like that. But that really kind of helped us learn the format and how to really do a show, especially early on.
We didn't do any trial runs or anything. We just showed up.
Yeah.
turned the mics on.
Yeah.
And just went for it.
And let it rip. And I mean, if you go back, there were some good shows, you know. And it was a smaller studio, too. And sometimes, some people might get. They're mind blowing. The Bones main studio that we were doing it on Sundays, that's a really nice studio. It was a big studio.
Yeah, Calta Studio's huge.
Yeah, it's a big studio. So
is he still there or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's still rolling.
What's crazy, when people think about radio, I always did. I always picture people were in this glamorous room and, you know, everything is just beautiful for them. Meanwhile, they're shoved in a 10-by-5-foot little studio with a glass in between you and the producer. And three people just huddled up together.
Yeah.
That was it. There wasn't a lot of
there was no
moving around in there.
Once I was in, I was in. I wasn't moving.
Yeah.
There's no getting it. If I got to use the bathroom, I'm going to have to hold it.
You know, but we're not doing radio anymore. We made a move to 102.5 The Bone. That was a good experience.
That was a great experience. And I think it gave us confidence. And like what we were doing, especially like what, because it's media, we need to sell spots to pay for radio. We were on paid radio, you know, so a lot of people.
That's
think,
something. Yeah.
A lot of people think that, oh, my God, we were on the radio and
we were getting paid
to do it. Like
it was the opposite.
Yeah. We literally probably at some points paid out of our pocket because some things that fell through or whatnot. But like having to go get that money and then to try to show somebody, sell them a product, which is us, and then try to show them a return on what they're getting from us on the return on the investment. And, you know, that was a whole nother world as well.
Yeah. I mean, radio is so hard to show somebody that it works.
Yeah.
It takes time. That takes 6 months at
right,
minimum.
Right. Yeah. So you're charging people for something that's, but you know, I can tell you it worked. You know,
it definitely worked.
When we first started with Blazer and West Coast, that was our marketing.
Yeah.
And that didn't not work, you know. You have to give it a little while.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, you still.
Well, that's not how people, when you sign a sponsor, because to the people out there that don't know, when you hear the radio show on the weekend, it is paid programming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody on the weekend, except for the regular hosts, they might have their own show before a Bucks game or Rays game or whatever. They have their own show, yes, but the other people are paid programming. Yeah. So what that means is us as Flats Mafia pay for that airtime. We pay for that hour. And then
pay
how
for commercial slots.
Right. We pay for everything, and how we would make money is to get a sponsor to recoup the money that we spent.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. A lot of people don't know that. They think we're getting paid, right? Like we talked about.
Well, I mean, and then it goes even as far as like with the sponsor deal. Like you remember, yeah, you got to mention whatever we would mention on the actual show throughout the hour, but then you can actually have spots on Couch's show, which costs extra. And like the whole thing, the whole business behind it, like, you know, you need big people spending big money with sponsorship to be able to make it worth your while.
Well, and you have to have the right sponsor.
Yeah, and we were at the, I mean, let's face it, we came in on the tail end of radio being something that people put real money behind.
Yeah.
And not that there's not still money to be had out there, but obviously there's a reason why we moved to podcast.
Podcast is the
not just money, not just financially. It's just a better platform, man. You can do what you want. Say what you want, you know?
Exactly. Do what you want, say what you want. We're not chasing the hustle now.
Yeah.
Because that whole
man,
radio thing, like you got a bill to pay.
Yeah.
It's just like,
just so y'all know, it wasn't like $500 a month.
No,
it's thousands of dollars a month for Sun. Here's what pissed me off.
1010 was cheap.
And we can get
1010 was cheap.
I wasn't on 1010. I wasn't with y'all on 1010. But I will tell you this. This is what pissed me off about that whole thing, and then we can move on to another subject.
No, let's stay on it.
You've got some guys doing somewhat entertaining stuff on a Sunday. Okay. We only know that because of the comments and the messages and the reviews that we got back. You know, we're not just saying that to say that. But yet you've got people that are coming on that are paying less than you, who are absolutely horrible, that your listener could give two shits about listening to. So at that point, it's just a money grab, right? Whoever can...
That's all the radio station. It's a money grab. The whole thing is...
For y'all don't know, it is a money grab on the weekend. So whoever wants to pay the most, you guys want to listen to, you know, how to wholesale your mortgage and whatever.
That's what they replaced us with.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we got messages. Yo, what happened to y'all? What happened to y'all? Did they fire you? Did they fire you? No. We don't work for them. No,
we got tired of the hustle and paying them money.
To be honest with you, we actually put on a pretty damn good show.
The value for us, it was like we had their best show. I'll say it. The most entertaining show on the weekend live that they had there for their listeners. And we were paying them for it.
Yeah.
And to me.
And we put our time in.
We put our time in.
And money.
You know what, too, though, that we didn't know in the beginning? All those rates are negotiable. So once we started, yeah, they gave us a flat rate and it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was high.
But we did it.
And we did it for a year.
We got sponsors to do it, but we couldn't put any money in the bank when you're paying $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month just to be on the freaking radio on the weekend.
It was bad in the beginning. And then when I realized wait a minute, let me try to get this down a little bit. And then they agreed to it. I'm like, well, shit, we just screwed the pooch there for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Paying all that money. But the guys now that are still on that station, I don't know that they even know that.
You know it now.
I don't know. Those guys don't listen to us.
One of them does.
Well, they also got a big, they got a big car dealership involved too. That probably helps because, you know, the car dealerships are your biggest people in radio who spend money on ads and advertising. That's kind of between car dealerships that's where that money is coming from.
Yeah, a lot of car dealerships, though, they have agencies that handle that stuff. But, I mean, there's nothing on radio, honestly, that I can't find better when I want to watch it that's not on a podcast.
Yeah.
There's some really cool fishing podcasts. There's some really cool podcasts just in general.
Yeah. I mean, and then also, like, you know, the thing with the podcast and actually videoing the podcast, you get these good clips that, like, it could be a 2-3 minute conversation.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that, and then you're like, that grabs a hold of you, and then now you're now following into that podcast, and, you know, it's completely different from radio. But I also believe if it wasn't for radio, I feel like that kind of did really lead us into
TV
as well, because it helped us learn that side of the business.
Well, it grew the fan base too.
Yeah, it grew the fan base as well. And, you know, kind of helped us transition into TV.
It definitely helped us. And the worst part of it was we couldn't gauge the listening audience.
Yes.
They don't care about weekend radio. They don't even give you ratings for it.
Yeah, which is the number one thing that you need to sell.
Yeah, when you're running around trying to sell it, they're like, well, what's your ratings? Ah, we're on the weekends. They don't do it. They're like, yeah, they do. We're like, no, they don't. That's what they tell us. They don't get them.
Yeah.
Nielsen doesn't care about weekend programming.
They'd be pretty pissed off if the people. You want to know why? Because what if the people that are paying on the weekends have better ratings than some of the freaking shows during the week?
That's very true.
I don't know that happens, but
some of those afternoon shows and the evening shows weren't during it wasn't like, what's his name? Like, I'm not talking about the Garabos or the Caltas or all the big guys.
Those
I'm talking about.
Yeah, there are some
the ones that you'll listen to. And
there's
you'll
some
be like,
shows
ugh.
That aren't your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But they're a lot of other people's cup of tea. Just like we're not everybody's cup of tea either.
It's probably a large
I get it.
It's not a cup of tea.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like what we do.
People might be drinking coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
So, I mean, we get that a lot. People don't like what we do, but a lot of people copy what we do, too, now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of mafia stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just remember where it started.
So, From there,
we transitioned to TV, which...
Same shit.
Same shit.
Just
more expensive.
Different platform.
The only thing is that you were able to sell commercials. And we had valuable slots for commercials and still struggled even with TV to like.
You want to hear something that's really stupid?
Yeah.
TV is cheaper than radio.
Well, yeah. So
tell me why
we're
doing podcasts, Bobby. This is why, because it's stupid, right?
Yeah.
Why would you do radio when you could just do TV and it's less money?
Yeah, no, that's true, actually.
To pay for the airtime is less money.
Well, when we started with radio.
Yeah,
to pay
for the airtime.
Excuse me. Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
Airtime is cheaper. Editing is not.
No, okay. It's actually.
That's a lot harder.
Yeah, it's a lot harder.
It's actually double the cost.
A lot more time. And once again, I'll tip my hat to Greg.
Shout out to Greg. Yeah. Seabrain Visuals.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
man.
I can tell you
shit.
This, though. With the TV, like, you know, we got another.
It's coming. Come on. I see it in you.
I know. We got another push of like more followers. And that kind of
you're hitting another audience.
Yeah, we hit another audience and went from radio to TV, and then that kind
of you're hitting all of Florida.
Yeah. So that was cool. And then it's just the experience filming a TV show, and then when we would go out of town, of course, out of town
shows
were always the best.
I miss that. I feel like there's gotta be something happening soon.
Well, yeah,
we ain't done, are we?
No, we're not done. But okay, it's been a while.
You said that like I missed that, like it's over.
Well,
like,
no, it's just been a while since we've actually went out of town and shot something.
Yeah,
and those were quite honestly some.
I want to say the last one we went was Cocoa Beach, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't there though.
Oh yeah, Port Canaveral. Yep.
Before that, it was what?
RC. Shit. That was the RCI.
2 years ago, maybe.
So, but like
a year ago,
when that all first started, you know, we were. Coming from learning the business from radio and then now knowing about TV, but
it's bright
at the same time, you know, it was a hell of an experience while we were doing that, which we're still doing it. But like, that's some of my favorite stuff. Like, I love radio. I mean, did I really love the fact that it was at 8 o'clock?
Did you like waking up on a Sunday?
But back then, we didn't know. Now you're talking to a bub.
Now you're talking to a dad?
But yeah, now you're talking to a dad that my Saturdays chill out with like maybe we might get Uber Eats or Outback and I'm in bed by 9, you know, maybe. But back then.
We get it.
It was a different time.
There was a time we were just hoping you would physically be there.
There were times we didn't know it was 5 minutes till and Bub ain't here yet. Like, okay,
oh, no,
guess,
I remember.
Justin,
what
we're
about
up?
The time I came in with the Crown bottle, Kami Seta, I just finished watching my wife open all her presents on her 30th birthday. And then I'm like, all right, babe, gotta go. Pew! Jumped in the car and hauled ass to the radio show, still drunk. Never went to sleep.
Yeah.
But those are good times. You go back.
No, they're all good. They're all good times.
You go back and listen to some of those shows. They're great.
Something about the radio when the red light came on and it was live was different than this.
Was great.
That's what I miss about the radio is it actually being live and it gets put out immediately.
Yeah.
This has to get edited, processed, and then put out, and then people got to find it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when we were on the bone, their preset on their radio was already on there. People who listened to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to talk radio.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you never heard of us.
Yeah.
That's true. That's all true.
Very true. So
anyway. Now that TV's on there, we're on the same channel the Rays were on. So that's played in bars constantly. It's on a loop.
Yeah.
So that was a big plus for us. It pushed our brand. It still is pushing our brand. We just, we're not as big as the other guys who are there have a episode on every week still.
Yeah.
You know, we're not there.
That's one thing we could talk about too, is like, you know,
we're set up a little differently.
We're set up differently.
Yeah.
What we have to put in.
Well, what do you mean we're set up differently? Explain it.
So
what's the difference between our show and
a firefighter. That's what you do to make money. Full-time fishing guy. That's what you do to make money.
Yep.
I sling boats. That's what I do to make money. Jeff does the same thing to make money. Troy's a full-time firefighter. And Tony, when he's here, he's a co-op.
Well, yeah.
Well, so
He's a co-op.
So what I'm saying is that's what we do to make money. And then we do this to try and pay for it. We just want this to pay for itself. And then maybe one day make some money.
Yeah.
But that's not our, you know, these guys, their job is to go sell sponsorships to pay for their show.
What do you think the percentage is of other fishing shows that are guides only? 100%? Every one of them are guides that have a TV show?
100%.
Every one of them?
No. I will say that there's a couple TV show. There's a couple fly dudes. I don't know. Are those Silver King guys guides?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, then. Yeah, you're right. Everybody's a guide.
They're still doing, you know, maybe Rick Murphy's not out there, you know, having to be a guide to pay his bills. But he's got multiple TV shows.
But
he's the biggest.
Rick has a team to sell advertising. That's all they do.
Yeah.
I mean, they know that if their pipeline's not full of advertisers, I mean, this guy's got his own production company. You know, he owns a lot of his own stuff, which is great. More power to him. But if he doesn't sell, I mean, I'm sure he'd tell you, if he doesn't sell advertisements, you're pissing up a rope, Jack. I mean, that money's gone right now. And
it's harder to shoot when you got four or five guys. We have to have at least three of us
to
shoot
an episode. We did it with two one time.
You're right. So maybe you have to have two. We don't like doing two. We like to have at least three.
Yeah.
We like the personalities in our show to mingle together. They just go out. So a lot of them, not all of them, go out and just hire another guide to let them fish the area.
Well, that's something
I understand.
We
that.
Never wanted to do that, though.
Well, that show's already out there.
Yeah.
That show's been done.
Yeah. Yeah,
been done 15 different ways.
No, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it makes for a very dependable, consistent show. I mean, and your costs are probably less. The guy doing it isn't getting paid. He's doing it for the exposure, so you don't have that expense.
You're not paying the guy that's taking you to where all the fish are.
Right, and then secondly, I mean, it's the same. You're not going to have to go 4 or 5 days and spend the production time and pay the camera guys to show up.
Because
the dude does it 5 days a week,
six days a week.
Yeah,
but don't think they still don't do it.
They still do.
Don't think they don't shoot a... Look, man, everybody knows that sometimes an episode take a week to shoot.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
You might get three fish, too.
People, I don't know if they realize...
in 1 week.
In 1 week.
I just don't know...
30-minute show.
If they realize how... When we go to shoot, we're hoping everybody can be there, number one. So we're figuring that out. And number two, we are literally, it's not like we're sitting there pre-fishing the week for these things.
No, we're showing up and going.
You see exactly what happens. Well, if you have a good day, we had a good day in real life.
Well, and you know how we pitch the show to people who are advertisers or people who want to know what we do.
Yeah.
We say, look, it's reality fishing.
Yeah.
What did we used to say? It was like Jersey Shore meets some other shit that we
Duck
would say.
Dynasty.
Duck
yes,
Dynasty.
We would combine that, and that's what we're doing. So we're bringing you personalities that are going to fish, and if we don't do well, you're going
to
see it.
There's still enough personality to make it watch.
There's episodes where we've put two or three fish on a camera.
Yeah.
And the best one, one of them was at a boat ramp. Yeah. In our backyard, down the street right here.
Bro, I remember showing one of our TV shows to my cousin Danny in Cocoa Beach. You know my cousin Danny. And he goes, he's watching the show, and he was probably 10 minutes in. He's like, hey, bro.
Y'all going to catch a fish?
When are y'all going to catch a fish?
I'm at the same shit. I pull in to work at times, and our show was on. The guys would have it on. They're like, hey, man. I'm like, what's up? Good morning. They're like, y'all ain't caught a fish. It's been 18 minutes.
And they're still watching, though.
I said, yeah, you still got it on. They're like, yeah, we're waiting to see what. Y'all got to put a fish on camera at some point. They're just chewing me. I said, well, look, man, that's reality. That's how we roll.
Yeah. We did not sugarcoat anything.
We're trying to show you what it's like to go out with your boys and fish. It's the same shit everybody's doing.
Yeah.
But we're putting it on camera.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of flack for it at times.
Yeah, that was our angle, though. That's exactly what we wanted to do. I always tell people, hey, listen, yeah, we got a TV show, but don't watch it to learn anything. Unless you want to learn how to hammer a Coors Light in about 4 seconds.
Without showing it on camera.
Without showing it on camera.
Yeah, you want to hide some cuss words, listen to seagulls.
Yeah, we got plenty of seagulls.
Yeah, I mean.
But you know, that's
what makes it different, you know?
I mean, we're hanging out in the Springs. There's times we've showed our radio show on TV.
Yep.
Parties that we've thrown.
Those were the best. That Home Assassin deal that we went that one time.
Yeah, it's called Scala Fest.
Almost didn't make it out. A couple of us didn't almost make it out.
It put me in the hospital.
Yeah, you went to AFib. Yeah.
I can honestly sit here
put me in the ER.
I have never been back to that level.
You know?
No, you haven't.
Ever.
If anybody sees us
with y'all,
out
without
about,
y'all, ever.
If anybody ever sees us out and about and we're kind of tuned up and you want to see Justin when he was on that level, we all still have it on video.
Still have everything.
Jeff's got it saved in the cloud.
We're not putting it on the internet, but Jeff, you can see it.
We're not putting it on the internet.
Said Jeff has it saved on the cloud. Jeff already sent me 3 burned DVDs. I didn't even know they still had DVDs. He sent me a DVD and a DVD player just in case I didn't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably did.
That was, bro. You go back and you think
we did
about
cooking. Scallop. We cooked then.
Yeah, I mean, bro.
Yeah,
we got
that was cooking back then. That was the first team dub and book.
Yeah, we did cooking. We did the whole thing. We went, but
bro,
dude,
but
we were in a mansion.
Came out. We were in a mansion, but the people that came out, like when we were coming back from scalloping, and we were out there all day, and people were passing shots, hot dogs. I mean, you have
prop washing.
You have this entire
Jeff almost remember.
Yeah.
Best prop wash I've ever seen. Look, you got to get
the
it
one
to
where
it,
he
dude.
Took off.
At the freezer.
At the what?
At the freezer.
Freezer.
At the freezer.
At the freezer. At the freezer.
Sorry, my Cajun come out sometimes.
At the freezer. Were you there for that one?
I heard about it.
Bro,
best one I've
I
was
ever
embarrassed.
Seen. Hey, I saw.
Oh,
it
was embarrassing.
I was embarrassed for y'all. But
bro, I'm not at the freezer yet, and I hear the engine roar. I'm not joking. The splash was probably 15 feet high. I saw it from the canal.
This guy
He's
wet.
Dangerous.
This guy wet Troy's boat with catfish heads.
Oh,
shot him in the air. He killed the whole boat with water. And there's people sitting on the
picnic tables there.
Picnic tables right behind the boat.
Yep.
And not a drop of water hit him. It stopped right in front of their feet.
Can you say,
thank God.
He's a professional.
Bro, but what a shot. Bro, I'm glad he did it. But wow.
But like that episode when we were coming back in the river, bro, you turn back and look and it was like 15, 17 boats all in the line.
Yeah,
everyone
cool.
had flags flying. Yeah. Like, you know, that was a super, super cool show.
Look,
we had a lot of cool shows.
Those
but
shows.
But that was a cool one because people came out and got to actually
hang out
and be a part of the show. We like, you know, made our friends and fans part of the show. That was a cool thing.
Yeah,
they're not even
cool.
fans anymore. They're friends. When
they're
they show
friends,
up, when
actually.
They show up and hang out, now we know you and you might get chewed.
Oh yeah,
we might find something to make fun of you about because that's what we do. But you're now friends at that point.
100%.
So
yeah,
you know.
It's cool the way we did that, man.
And then like you know with our big parties we do, we've been a part of that big Christmas party for now. This will be our 6th year, believe it or not.
Yeah,
our 6th year, and every year we've gotten bigger. We've donated more toys. We've donated more money. We've got involved with Angling for Relief that has just been an awesome nonprofit to work with that does great things in the community. And then just recently last year, was it Aubriana's?
Yep.
What was it?
She's
name?
Doing toys, so we're going to do the toys to
we're
her.
Gonna, yeah, we're going to still do the toys to her, but do you remember her foundation?
Aubriana's Journey,
I think. Yeah, you're right. So those things, radio, help that
Yeah.
When we got those things going, because we were able to promote. And, you know, we had some really good beginning parties that we did.
Bro, we were doing Tightline Tuesdays.
How?
Back then, every month.
Yeah,
every
month. How about, what's that thing that Maggio, we were doing over here?
Oh, Run the Dog was huge.
How many people?
LunkerCon.
And look, that was the most people I've ever seen at Hula Bay.
Hula Bay's never seen that amount of people.
Never.
Yeah,
seen
now we can't even get them to call us back.
Now we can't get them to call us back. They got new management.
Yeah, new management.
They don't believe in what we did, or they've never seen it, or whatever.
I guess they don't like making money.
Yeah.
We packed that place. There wasn't a place in there.
It was a little too much.
They have upstairs, downstairs.
I don't know what the belly flop contest,
there wasn't a square foot in that place that someone wasn't standing up top on the deck. Like that was an epic party.
Yeah, you swamped out the.
I won. I knew I was gonna win.
You swamped.
My eyeballs hit the back of my cerebellum and almost had a concussion, but I gave it all.
All right. Well,
yeah.
You also gave it all to the poor Jamaican guy's gear, who got swamped out. And
the DJ stuff.
I wasn't the only one.
They weren't real happy.
Well,
what do you think, though? I mean, you're at the belly flop contest.
Well, you know what they say. If you're in the first two rows, you might get wet.
Yeah.
So
That was fun. That was a lot of people, man.
That was a lot of people. You know, we're going to reach out to Jeff, and we're going to do another LunkerCon. Why not? We're going
to
do another LunkerCon.
We need to get Jeff
and then
we'll
do the after party at West Coast in the parking lot.
All right.
Sounds like an episode to me.
Yeah.
It could be.
We
need another episode.
We need to get him in here.
Yeah. Well, when he comes in, now, you know, that's the thing. When we get this
Bob's rolling, brain's working now. Look, he's when he's
smoke.
Here, he could
I
be here.
Yeah,
smoke.
We're already knocking it out, bro.
Yeah.
And we'll get our boy Adam J, which is one of my favorite interviews. I know we're bounced back to radio, but that's the thing. See, now the podcast thing is set up. We start doing another event like that. Boom, Jeff comes in. We bring Adam J in here. Let him hit another freestyle live on the podcast, which, you know, those are all cool.
Our podcast
things.
Is visual now, so he can
actually perform.
We'll take him off this sit down, let him just stand up and hold a mic,
you know, so
let it rip.
This is the beginning. We had to tell y'all the story, how it all started, but now you're here for our first episode, our first podcast, that now you're joining us on our next journey. We did radio, we did apparel, we did radio, we did TV, now we're here.
Yeah, it's not just going to be, we've talked about this a million times, but it's not just going to be fishing people either.
Oh, we're going to talk about trending stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, submarines and all.
During football season,
there's going to be a lot of football talk, you know. You're going to now get, we were a fishing radio show, but now you're going to get, you know, just open categories, as I have to say that. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's trending, stuff, stupid shit that people do on the water that pops up on Qualified Captain or getting your hand bit off by a bull shark.
We're going to be
all across the board.
Everything from businessmen to other TV personalities, whether that's fishing people or whether that's ball players or whether that's business guys or just the whole gamut.
Yeah, so that's what y'all got to look forward to that. We had to go over, you know, setting back way back how Flats Mafia started, but we will be kicking off.
We've been around a minute.
Yeah, bro. How many years? We were at, what year is it? 23?
You're going to do math? It's 20, we started 25. In 09 legit.
Yeah, so we started in 09 legit, so it's 24 years.
I'm just going to agree with you.
24 years, guys. Do that math in 14? Your heads.
Look, for some...
14 years.
Some get or done's like us to be around for 14 years in the light is an accomplishment in itself.
And it's been fun.
It's been fun, but none of it's been easy.
No, it hasn't. So it's still a grind and a grind and a grind.
I know there's a lot of people out there that, you know, these guys, I can do what they do. Like, go ahead. You know, give it a whirl. A lot of people are still trying and, you know, some of them are paying out of their own pocket to do it. And that's not what it's about. We do it to have fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully it pays for itself so we can entertain people.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're not, like we said before, we're not here to teach you how to tie a hook. You're not going to get that out of this show, any aspect or form of it. You're not getting that. You know, maybe we might show it on TV because we might need a filler.
we need fillers.
Sometimes we need fillers. We're
heavy
not
heavy on the fillers. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Fillers.
Talk about something
seagulls.
Else here, because we can't get shit right now.
Yeah. Hey, Buffs, what are we doing now? Well, we're waiting here for the next 3 hours to see if one of these rods go off.
Well, I've seen shows where Bub has not come off the deck. He's just laid on the deck because he's been so drunk the night before. Didn't even fish to help get anything on film. It's just, that was the last one, actually. We hadn't even aired that one yet.
Which one?
The one in Port Canaveral. You laid on the back of the deck and me and Troy are up there.
Bro.
That's all you hear is us casting lures.
Bro, let me just
My back sore as shit. Like yeah. Left side of my back when I'm throwing lures. Can't stand it.
Well, if you take a look at my MRIs on my shoulders, you see why I stopped that. I couldn't hang with y'all boys. But, hey, there's some other times that brought the gas, boy.
Yeah, I remember one episode. This was shallow water grouper, one of them.
Yeah, yeah. You did save the day there when it was windy as shit, remember?
Jig head with a split shot.
He wasn't even giving a shit. You were snapper fishing.
Yep, but didn't I tell you?
With a trout-eyed jig head.
Yep.
That was made for, like, trout and redfish, maybe. And you smoked, what was that, 34 inches?
Yeah, well, I got
when
my
it's your day, it's your day, man.
Hey, that's it.
That hook was straightened the fuck out, too, dude.
Hey, you win something, you lose something.
Yeah. You won that day.
You got him, though.
Yeah. You know, but everyone, that's the thing. We don't know who's going to shine. Think about the first time I went to Louisiana, guy catches the monster.
We don't know. We don't know what's going on.
I'm ready to go back there. That's one.
Yeah.
Look, when you're talking about doing some.
Especially with the little rig I got.
Ooh. Yeah, when you're talking about doing some TV shows, there's certain places that I don't want to keep going back to the same place, but.
There's a reason
why
we go
to Louisiana
there.
Every year.
Yeah.
And you know, Key West is another one. You got to go to Key West every year.
Yep. Agreed. I do want to go to Texas.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
The Texas, that's supposed to be
pretty
cool.
I definitely want to do the oil rigs. I've never done the oil rigs. I want to do that. You know, and maybe somehow, some way we can get that to where we do the stuff we did and we split the trip up where we, even if we time it, there's some people that I know that are down there like in June, they can take us to the oil rigs. I know it's a long haul, but I mean, I'm tired.
You're talking about us going with them or us going on our own boats?
We can go on our own boats and follow them, or they might have an open day that they can just take us. Aaron Taylor's out there for like 17 days.
I saw those guys roll down the river. The guys who go out with the, you know, the 40-foot Freemans and the Yellowfins and all that. And, dude, them dudes are hammered out. From the time they leave the dock, you can't get one more ounce out of that damn throttle to the time they get where they're going. And they don't care who's.
And that bitch is on autopilot, too.
If you're next, if you 20 yards away and they got to go there, they're going there as fast as they can. They're not, ain't no slowing down for you or nothing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they were in and out of there a lot.
Well, that's some things we need to work on.
What else is our, what are we going for next? I'll put you on the spot here.
As far as.
Can I tell you what we should do? We should
Costa Rica. This is what we should do.
We should go to Costa Rica and film there.
All right. So you're talking about episode and.
Oh yeah.
General.
Oh, you mean in general for Flats Mafia?
Yeah. What's a goal? I mean, there's tons of episodes we need to do and should do.
Well, I would say, I know you've talked about it for years and years and years, but we need to really finally set up our fishing tournament that I think we can do on maybe twice a year and get that going.
We got to start once a year first.
Yeah, of course. You know, but you start and you want to have a goal. And I think the next thing is to make our Christmas party even bigger than it was last year, because
we're going to keep the Christmas party going. That's not a... But do we want to get back to Tightline Tuesday stuff? Doesn't got to be once a month. That's a lot of work.
I mean, I don't know. I like this stuff.
I like this stuff too, but at the same time.
I like this stuff, especially when we have guests. And maybe we can structure it around the guests that month.
This is going to happen.
You know?
This is going to happen. However, whatever we start twice a month, once a month, however it starts, once this gets rolling, that's going to happen no matter what. What? But like Tightline Tuesdays and stuff, like even just to do stuff at West Coast, like make West Coast the home base, and we get people out.
Bro, people want them still.
Other captains, people want to come. It's another place where we can sell apparel, sell hats, sell stickers, and continue to expose West Coast. But you got a great place to do it at, and we just start.
Well, there's times where there are people who want to learn things about fishing, and that is where our platform excels in that, because people go there to teach.
Yes.
We get a speaker, and that's when they're actually teaching.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm against it. I think it was a good... I mean, obviously, we'd have anywhere realistically from what, 40 to 100 people there at those things?
The smallest time we ever had 40. Smallest.
I was going to say more to like...
70. I would say 70.
80. Because I remember quite a few times, and it depends on who we're dealing with, who the guide is or whatnot.
Sure.
But there wasn't, it wasn't ever a bust, and all the companies recouped a lot of their expenditure with us via those Tightline Tuesday.
Yeah. I think that I like
especially
that.
The bars.
Yeah.
Why you wouldn't want to keep that going?
I'm not going to bring up the same place again. I'm not going to do it again, but it's just a dumb move.
I mean,
yeah.
it's like we
would bring 70, 100 people there on a Tuesday.
If we're bringing 100 drinks, these are people that follow us are not going there and drinking water.
Nah.
I promise you. But 90% are going to have at least two or three drinks. Two or three drinks times 100.
Two or three drinks. Just our crew alone that show up for. There's seven or eight of us when we go to an event.
I'm going conservative here. Just throwing it out.
Just the Flash Mafia crew that shows up with just us six.
That's probably 100 drinks.
Bro, we're there early and we shut it down.
300 times five. So
we're talking beers. We're talking beers.
Oh, we kill it. They make their money back on us half the time.
We're talking Tito's. No, look, I get it. What I'm saying is you got a Tuesday night that you're not doing shit. You're not doing any numbers on a Tuesday night. Unless you're a taco joint, you're not doing any real numbers on a Tuesday
night. And we brought food.
We're talking nachos.
Between the food and the bar sales, those are $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 nights.
They fucked up. They're still fucking up. They fucked up. They're idiots.
That's what I'm trying to tell
people.
Not
my fault the guy looks like Gumby over there.
When
get a spine, bro.
When people want to do this stuff, they don't think about this kind of... Like, this is the grind part we talk about.
I think about... Like, if you told me...
And we get frustrated about it because they're idiots.
If you're like, Justin, I need $5,000 from you this year, and I own a restaurant, per se. That's a bar, whatever. And I've got... But I want to do a Tightline Tuesdays, Tuesday nights. I'm going to bring 50 to 120 people there consistently, and you're going to get this amount of Tightline Tuesdays. So I'm in my head thinking, okay, 100 people show up. That's $5,000.
Bob's going to do math again.
If they have the minimum.
We're talking beers.
If they have the minimum, and I'm catering to that 100 and something people that showed up on a Tuesday night, I know I'm making my money back in one night.
On top of the people that didn't even know it was happening, and we're like, damn, this shit's cool. Let's stay here longer. Let's order.
Happened all the time.
More beers.
What about the people that we bring that have never been to that particular place? That now,
you have a residual
place is awesome. Let's
go
again.
Customer for life. How do you put a price on that?
We do two of them a year there.
Yeah.
So like this was the part where we're chasing money for radio, and it just drove me up a wall.
Yeah. That's stupid. Just
and
for the
like,
right.
Can't take it
down the street, bro. Right down the street.
It's ridiculous. But hey, what
they
do
didn't
we know?
Obviously they didn't need it. So that's where. Maybe my
nobody needs
was.
It.
They didn't need it.
Nobody needs it until they do.
Yeah.
And then guess what? The price doubles.
Well, and then that's the same place too. We've had a party there before. We've had multiple parties there.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have a Christmas party there, and now they won't even return a call.
I wanted to see.
The Christmas party isn't a Tightline Tuesday. That's not 70 to 100 people.
No.
No.
Now we're up to 400 or 500 people at minimum.
That is a money maker.
That was during COVID.
That is a money maker for everybody who is involved. The charities, everybody but us.
Yeah.
The charities, really which is fine. The charities and the damn bar that the bar's killing it that night. And that's fine because that's what we're doing it for. We're doing it for a place to cater to us. And where we did it last, I thought they were the most catering to us that I've ever
Finn's was awesome. You can say their name. Finn's was awesome. Finn's Dockside.
Yeah, Finn's was
awesome, but our reach and our following and our strongest,
it's not going to be every year, right? But,
no,
we'll definitely
go back to Finn's.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job.
Harold was great. I mean, it was...
I just thought of a new goal right here on the spot.
Okay, let's hear
it. So maybe we get a little bar spot, start a Flats Mafia Bar and Grill. Let's get crazy.
I'm going to put my shades on for that.
Put your shades on. Look.
I'm not involved. I mean, this is something. I already know where this is going. And look.
We know a guy that runs bars and restaurants. Need a spot. There's a marina going up down the street. It ain't out of the question. I got some money saved.
Think you need talk to the other, the partner that's not here at the moment.
Look, about that. If you'd have told me
an idea,
if you'd have told me in 2009 we'd be where we're at now, I'd say you're out of your mind. There's no way. It was a pipe dream.
Well, just
but here we are.
As a pipe dream of a kid who watched a shitload of TV shows as far as fishing shows went. Nice, I like that. To say that you're going to be on TV one day and actually do it. What do you say?
We're talking beef.
We wanted to be on TV and we did it.
We did it and we're still doing it and we just need to do better.
The goal, contrary to some people's beliefs, is not always to become rich off of something. That doesn't always mean that you're successful.
And I'm not 100% serious about a bar and restaurant. I know Jack about doing either one.
Yeah.
I know how to put some people in it for events. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But it would be cool. And every time we were in the Keys, every single year, we're like, bro, we need to open a bar down here called Scallywags.
Yeah.
And that then,
blows
and
my
then
mind,
have
there's
a little
not a bar down there named Scallywags.
Huh?
There's no bar down there named
Scallywags? I don't think so.
No.
No.
There is.
And then the basement part of it needs to be called Below the Deck.
Below
the hard deck.
And
hard
I got to just say
hard
this.
Deck. Hard deck.
If I have to say anything about
I
got to
go off Justin's
that,
Top Gun glasses.
That's deck. He's I'm only wearing thinking. These inside because it's bright as shit.
Hey,
in here.
I'm only going to say this one more time. But if we're going to do the bar, that means you got to be talking beers and talking not
food trucks.
Nah, that's cool. I mean, hey, that's the next
you never know.
Dream,
I'm just throwing
you
it out
know.
There.
You never know. Yeah. Never know.
Throwing it out there. Somebody might listen one day and go, you know what? I'll front it. I want these guys to be the main people that bring.
Just take a small royalty. I really don't want anything to do with that business. We'll take a little royalty.
Sure, we will. Sure.
I'm thinking about working behind the bar. Work my way up to
the top.
World
needs plenty of bartenders.
Yeah. Well, the bar better be at least 9 to 10 foot wide.
Taffert, hook it up.
I bartended one time before, and I went on a diet after.
Not a whole lot of clearance.
But I was still talking biz.
Anyway, that's just one other little goal. That would be a cool thing to have. I'm not trying to have no big time restaurant, but just some little hole in the wall bar would be cool.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, and you know, another little thing just to throw out there. You know, we're just talking that. I mean, I really feel like we can put 500 to 600 people at Rick's on the River if we shut down the whole spot for the Christmas party.
That's something we're definitely going to talk about after this is done. It's not.
We won't have to get into that.
Yeah, they don't
but
need
I
to
think
hear all
I
that.
Think this is a good enough time.
I have
time.
A hard time with Rick's.
I think this is a good enough time to say that I feel like we call everyone up on our story, what we've been doing, what we are doing, what we're trying
they,
to do.
They know
do.
Who we are now.
They should at least know who we are. And if you don't, go on YouTube, Flats Mafia, at Flats Mafia, subscribe to the channel, check out the videos that we're talking about, stuff that before we even were on TV. There's some of the home, I would call them home videos we did. Hmm. And, you know, you can find us on Facebook at
Flats Mafia. Just look up Flats Mafia.
Just look up Flats Mafia. Google it.
Google
Flats Mafia. I hope y'all enjoyed this first podcast. I had fun. I am sweating a little bit behind my neck. I think it's from the biz.
Wow. All right.
All right. There he has it.
Hey, there it is, folks. We'll see y'all next time. Two fingers. We're gone.